In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year. Y'all are like the faithful remnant today. Congratulations. Either your ibuprofen worked or you went to bed early. Or you're just here like me waiting to go home and go back to bed. Well, I'm glad you came. Otherwise, this just doesn't work out. Whether you're here or online, we're glad you made it. Today, although we're often used to in this time frame, as you've noticed from last weekend, it's one of those unique moments when Christmas fell on Sunday, New Year's Day on Sunday. But it's not just New Year's Day. This is the holy name. This is the day in which we recognize and celebrate the very name of Jesus as it was given and as we heard in the gospel. And we'll hear more about that, what Paul has to say to the church in Philippi in just a minute. But so we are celebrating, yes, the wise men, the kings, everyone, they are on their way, and Epiphany is coming. It's going to happen between now and the next time you're here, and then it'll be his baptism. But just know it happened, so the Gentiles will be represented at the creche, and all will be well. So if you're looking for Epiphany, it didn't happen today. and it's not going to happen next week, but it will happen in between. So we don't often get the opportunity to celebrate things on the day in which they happen. So most of us probably haven't never really thought about having a celebration of the holy name of Jesus, because we generally miss it. It happens between Epiphany and Christmas, and very few people pay attention to it. And I thought this year we're going to do it. That's twice in a week I've got to celebrate a feast day that we don't get to celebrate very often as a group, and only because we had a team of people doing some local mission work on December 28th, where we were able to pray specifically for on the feast day of the Holy Innocents in the chapel, which should be a big deal to us. But it's a little hard to celebrate, so in the future, if you're part of naming a church, don't pick a feast, don't pick a name when the feast day is 3 days after Christmas. Because you can't throw the big party, because the big party's already been had. But either way, the holy name today. And we think about this as I was preparing. I prepared the sermon only three times, and I thought we could go a lot of places with it, and I just, probably about 3 o'clock this morning, it went, oh, you have to talk about the power of the name of Jesus, amen? And so that's what you're going to get to begin with, and you might think, well, it's just a name. I mean, I have a name. It doesn't carry much power that I'm aware of. In fact, people tend to misspell it and do all kinds of other things, so obviously it doesn't bear a lot of weight. I could declare things in the name of any other person in the room, and people just kind of think, okay. But when you declare something in the name of Jesus, people start to pay attention, and there's power in that. And if you don't believe it, next time somebody's telling you about their ailment or something, especially if it's one of your unchurched friends, and you say, let me pray for you, and you put your hand on their head, and you pray for their healing in the name of Jesus, I guarantee you there will be a response. It may not be the one you're hoping for. They're either going to go, yes, Lord, heal me right now, or they're going to say, I got to go. And you're probably never going to have another conversation with them. So the name of Jesus can draw and repel, that there's a power in it, isn't there? I mean, we could say there isn't, but how many of you have ever found yourself in a moment, and I'm a part of this in my lifetime too, by the way, where you know the right thing to say is the name of Jesus, and you don't. You just don't. Because somebody might hear you. And then you may be labeled, you know, one of those people, those Jesus freaks. What a glorious day when you can comfortably just be a Jesus freak, amen? And you can say the name of Jesus freely and nobody thinks anything of it because that's what you always say. But there's that time when we just have a hard time crossing over that line. I remember talking to a woman who was working her way into doing some youth ministry back when I was doing some youth ministry. And she goes, I'm thinking about doing it with my church, and I want people to know about him, and he's what drives everything, and I just want people to come to know him. And I finally stopped her. I said, if you're going to be teaching young people about Jesus, this may be a good time to actually say Jesus. And she stopped. She went, oh. But how quickly we just capitalize the he or the him and think we know that's Jesus, but we don't say the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. It was designated for purpose, and we hear about that. And then we have to wonder, well, why? What does this mean to know this Jesus, and why is it such a big deal? And we're hearing a little bit about that as Paul is talking to the church in Philippi in chapter 2 about the humility and imitating Christ. He says this, chapter 2, verse 5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, for this Jesus to have power just in his name and the power in which he used as he walked this earth, to hear this understanding of Jesus, that doesn't sound like power to us, does it? Power to us sounds like something else. Somebody in power has control. Somebody in power can make things happen. Somebody in power can make change. Somebody in power is just in charge. And now we proclaim this Jesus, the strength just in his name. And he humbles himself. Here he is equal to God, yet doesn't exploit it. Now, let's be honest. We'd have a little hard time doing that, wouldn't we? I think I'd have a problem with that. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's not regular death in his time, by the way. Death on a cross is the most humiliating form of execution. And that is the death he died. This is the Jesus whose name we recognize, where the power is in the name also. We hear it today. The power doesn't sound like power to us. In a world where power is one of those things, a power over is the norm. He who has the gold makes the rules. That's a golden rule. You've heard it, right? That's power over. Power over. How often do we find ourselves in this life looking at what's going on around us and those who are in charge, those who are in power, and we feel as though we're kind of held in place by that power that they wield, amen? And now we have this Jesus who's being upheld as the one, God incarnate, and here he is equal with God, and he comes in humbly and obedient, even to death, death on the cross, the most humiliating death possible, and yet there's still power in his name, amen? Because the power that he brings is the power to raise up, to lift up, to strengthen, to love, to show grace, to show mercy, to think less of himself so that we would know that there was more to us. And Paul says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He who humbled himself. Just an interesting note. The opposite of humility, if you Google that, comes up pride. And I thought, wow. Pride. Isn't that our biggest struggle? In fact, sometimes we take our pride so seriously, we will apply that pride to our brokenness and our sinfulness. And we will take such pride in that, we won't even let Jesus lift us up from it. Amen? This is my identity. I'm not letting it go. I can remember being a young man. Thankfully, it wasn't that long ago, but it's getting longer ago. And I can think to myself, as my hair was down about the middle of my back, and I'm thinking, I'm never cutting my hair off. Now I can't stand it. If it just went away, I don't think I'd be bothered, to be honest. But I'm thinking, no, I'm never cutting my hair. I'm never getting rid of my earrings, man. This is me. This is who I am. Well, obviously, things have changed. But we hold on to that, right? Because many of those things, for me, maybe not for everybody else, but many of those things were outward signs of my inward brokenness, and my pride would not let me turn them loose. Interesting thing, Google. You Google, what's the opposite of pride? Shame. Isn't that interesting? How in this world, when we are called here this day to worship the one true God and the understanding of Jesus Christ incarnate and the power that is in his name, that is the exact opposite of how worldly power is, the heavenly power that's present within Jesus and recognized still today when you speak his name. In the midst of all that, we also begin to recognize that when we stick to our pride, rather than humbling ourselves and having the mind like Christ, how often does our pride turn into our shame? How often does our pride drive our sin and brokenness, and then we find ourselves just like we did and our first parents did in the garden when they didn't listen to God and they ate the fruit from the tree and they discovered themselves naked and they tried to cover themselves and hide in shame, and God came walking saying, "Where are you?" When we cling to our pride, we often find ourselves in shame and hiding from God. What an interesting concept. But this Jesus comes in human form, taking the form of a slave, humbles himself, and becomes obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross for us. That, brothers and sisters, is why we take a moment every year and today to say the holy name of Jesus matters. I mean, just saying it almost brings peace, doesn't it? It just settles that power that comes just in speaking his name. And that is why we choose this day to celebrate together this Jesus, this holy name. And in verse 9, chapter 2, this is the result of the way in which Jesus walked. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow. You may see some people who are a little more Anglo-Catholic in their understanding of our faith tradition, and every single time the name of Jesus is said, they do this bowing their head. I was looking for a clip from an old movie called Airplane. Maybe you've seen it. And they're rushing through the airport, and the nuns, and somebody keeps saying, "Jesus, Jesus," but not in the way that we're thinking. And the nuns, the poor nuns, are just going like this every single time. And I thought that would be a good amusing thing on New Year's Day, but I couldn't find it. So you just get my description. But just imagine each time in the midst of your liturgy, in the midst of your day, if every single time you heard the name of Jesus, and perhaps not bend your knee, because, well, for some of us, that can be a little more complicated these days. But just bowing your head and remembering this Jesus, the power in his name. And that, brothers and sisters, this Jesus exalted by God, we exalt with our lives because he's made it possible by giving his own. And it's for this Jesus we gather here today to worship. It is for this Jesus we should humble ourselves. It is for this Jesus we should bend our knees and confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.